I'd like to begin by looking at Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Hebrews, the fourth chapter, and verse number 12. Today we will be talking about the power of God's Word. In Hebrews, the fourth chapter, and verse 12, it tells us this. And we'll also read verse 13. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give the account. It tells us here that the Word of God is not a dead letter, but the Word of God is living. It is powerful. And the reason is it is supported by him who is the very fountain of life, and the source of all power. And so the word is not a lifeless abstraction, but a living and concrete embodiment of God's will. Going wherever he pleases and doing whatever he requires. Let's look at what it tells us in Isaiah, the 55th chapter. Isaiah, the 55th chapter. And we're so used to verses 7 through 9, so we'll begin there, but this really has nothing to do with the lesson. But it says here, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And now it talks about the word in verses 10 and 11. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. The word of God will do what God pleases. Of course, we need to be willing to tell others about the word of God. In 1 Peter 1:23, it says that we have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, through the word of God which lives and abides. And then it says how long it lives and abides for. It lives and abides forever. You know, the devil, he knows that there is power in the word of God. In Luke, the 8th chapter, as Jesus is giving the parable of the soils and of the seed, he says here in Luke 8:11, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. And then he says, those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Again, why does the devil do that? Why does the devil take the word out of people's hearts? Because he knows how powerful it is. And even our own word have power for good and evil. And so This morning I'd like to talk about the miraculous power in God's spoken word. And the first thing I'd like to look at is Hebrews, the 11th chapter. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, as the Hebrew writer pens these words in verse number 3, he says here, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed." How were they framed? By the word of God. And to get a better understanding of this, we can look at Genesis, the first chapter. God said, and whatever he said, that's what happened. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Let's just look at a little bit of Genesis, the first chapter then. Genesis, the first chapter, because we see here the power within the word of God. And it says in verse 3, God said, "Let there be light." And guess what? There was light. And then in verse 6, he said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the water, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament. How did he make it? By saying the word. God said, "Let the waters in the heavens be gathered together in one place, and dry land appear." And guess what? It was so. Can you imagine that? You could just say something and it becomes a reality. That's how powerful God's word is. In verse 11, God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so, because he said it. That's how powerful his word is. In verse 14, God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth." And it, because he said it, guess what? It was so. God said, "Let the waters abound with abundance of living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded. How did he do it? By speaking the word. God said later, "Let the earth bring forth all the living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beasts on the earth, each according to its kind." That's what God said, and guess what? It was so. And God said, "Let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. How did he create them? By speaking the word. All things are upheld by his power, but all things were created by the power of his word. The heavens and earth are preserved by the word of God, it tells us in 2 Peter 3:7. And Christ also, to show the power of the word, he, of course, performed many miracles by the power of his word. He stilled the sea. He fed great multitudes by the power of his word. He raised Lazarus from the dead by the power of his word. But today, let us talk about the power of the gospel. For Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so power is shown by comparison. So we're going to make comparisons to show the power of God's word. There is power physically. We receive power. There is power in food to strengthen. If we try to live our lives without food, sooner or later, we would die. So power and food to strengthen us physically. And we can see that, even though this is a spiritual book, we can see the Word of God even teaches that. Because in James, the second chapter, and verses 15 and 16, and this is talking about faith and works, but in verses 15 and 16, it makes the point, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, because a person needs food, physical food, to be physically strong. And so, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things that are needed for the body, what does it profit? Only if you give them the physical food they need will they be strengthened. So we compare that to spiritual food. Spiritually, only the Word of God can strengthen us with the spiritual nourishment we need. Jesus himself said, you shall not live by bread alone, but by every, not some, not most, not many, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4, verse 4. And Peter said, when people became Christians, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The Word of God is the food. It is the only spiritual food for our spirits to feed on. So how much time do we spend being spiritually nourished in our life? We need to examine ourselves more than examining others. We need to look at ourselves and think, how much time am I spiritually nourishing my spirit? Because we have two parts, our soul and our flesh. What are we more concerned about? We eat every day. I'm sure we eat more than we need to. Yet do we eat enough of God's word? Do we spiritually partake of the spiritual nourishment that can only be found in his word? And so also, there is power, like if we're sick or, you know, and we go to the doctor, a lot of times the doctor is going to give us medicine because there is power in medicine to heal those who are sick physically. And if the doctor gives us a prescription or medicine to take and we don't take it, guess what? It's not going to do us any good at all. But spiritually, well, first of all, physically, Jesus said, those who are well are not in need of a physician, but those who are sick. But to heal our spirit, the word of God has been sent. It tells us in Psalms 107, verse 20, he sent his word and healed them. So I'd like to look now at what Jesus said in Matthew the 13th chapter. In Matthew the 13th chapter, because we can conclude some things by what it says here. Matthew the 13th chapter, verse number 15. And it says here, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. So I would say these people are spiritually weak or they're spiritually sick. And it says here, their ears are hard of hearing and their eyes they have closed. Then it says there's a chance for these people yet, because it says here, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. So if we hear, these people needed to hear with their ears. What did they need to hear? They needed to hear the word of God. These people needed to understand with their hearts and turn. What did they need to understand? They needed to understand the word of God. And we turn as the word instructs. And the result of that, if they hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and they turn, the result is they will be spiritually healed. So the Word of God, it has the power to strengthen. It has the power to heal. Now there is power in light. There's power in light to reveal. Let's look at what it tells us in Ephesians, as Paul is writing to the brethren at Ephesus in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, in verse number 13. And he says here, by all things that are exposed are made manifest. How are they made known? By the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. In Psalms 119, verse 105, the spiritual light it talks about there. It says there, your word is a lamp to my feet, and it is a light to my path. God's word gives light. It gives us spiritual guidance. Step by step, all along the path, our feet must trod. We must walk in the light, as he is in the light. Psalms 119, verse 130. The entrance of your word, the entrance of your word into my heart, it gives light. It gives understanding. Your word gives understanding to the simple. The word, what does it do? It reveals. It reveals God to us. The word reveals Jesus Christ to us. The word reveals the Holy Spirit to us. The word reveals sin to us. The word reveals the way of salvation. The word reveals heaven to us, and the word also reveals hell to us. Are we walking in the light of God's word? The word has the power that light does to reveal. There's also power in fire. There's power in fire to destroy, but there's also power in fire to purify. In Luke 17, verse 29, but on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Fire has the power physically to destroy. In Malachi 3, 2, but who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire. The refiner watches the fire and he basically purifies the metal that is put into it. The word is compared to the power of fire. It purifies. The word purifies and it also destroys. But it purifies, it has the power to purify our hearts. Let's look at what it tells us as Jeremiah, in Jeremiah the 20th chapter. Jeremiah the 20th chapter, verse number 9. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. And here it talks about Jeremiah. He discovered, what Jeremiah discovered was God's word was in his heart. And in Psalms it says, thy word I have kept in my heart that I would not, I have hidden in my heart that I would not sin against thee. But the word of God was in Jeremiah's heart. And it needs to be in our heart like it was in Jeremiah's. Because look at what he says here in Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Like, I'm not going to tell anybody about God anymore because it's not doing me any good. They're not listening to me. But then he said something else. He realized that God's word in his heart was like a burning fire shut up in his bones, because he says here, after he says, I will not speak any more in his name, but his word, this is how powerful his word was. His word was in my heart like a burning fire. It was shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. He could not stop from teaching the Word of God because it was like a fire and he couldn't keep from teaching other people. What about us today? Are we like that? Is the Word, again, it says here, it was, my heart was like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back. Holding what back? The Word of God. And I could not, because the Word is has the power to save. In Jeremiah 23 and verse number 29, Jeremiah 23, 29, is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? And so, there's another thing. The Word of God has the power. It has the power like a hammer to crush. Because once in a while, my friend from childhood has asked me to help him out. And I'm not really good with, tools or with my hands. And, once in a while when I use a hammer, there's a chance I might crush my fingers. But what about the Word of God? It can crush the rocks that there's people who have hardened hearts, and the Word of God can crush the rocks of their heart and make the soil soft so that the Word can again penetrate them. Again, it says here, is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, but it's like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. Stony hearts must be broken. And the Word is powerful enough to do the job. In Matthew, the 13th chapter, and verse number 15, Jesus said here, again, for the hearts of his people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Again, the Word is like a hammer. In Romans, the second chapter, Paul, when he wrote to the brethren at Rome, he penned these words. Romans, the second chapter, verse number 5. And it tells us here, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. And in Hebrews the third chapter, and verses 12 and 13, Hebrews the third chapter, verses 12 and 13, it tells us this. It says here, beware, brethren, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhorting one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. People can harden their hearts. And so the Word of God can be that hammer that helps soften their hearts and allows the Word to penetrate. There is also power in seeds. There's power in seeds to produce fruit. And the seed has always had this power. We can go back to Genesis. Genesis, the first chapter. We probably don't talk enough about the creation. But in Genesis, the first chapter, verses 11 and 12, from the beginning it says, God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so, and the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. God said again, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb and that yields seed and the fruit tree according to its kind. And guess what? Because he said it, it was so. And God decreed by his word that everything, every single thing in the vegetable kingdom should bring forth seed after its own kind. It was so. And it is still so today. It never has changed. One who plants a wheat seed will not expect to get a crop of corn, will not expect barley, but will expect a wheat crop. Only God can make a seed that will grow. God's the one who made the seed. We can't make the seeds. The spiritual seed, however, is the word of God. So it tells us that in Luke, the 8th chapter. We've already read it, but again, we'll read it again as Jesus' words say here. The parable is this: the seed, this is the spiritual seed now, the seed is the word of God. The word comes from God. As the seed, the physical seeds, they all come from God. The word, the spiritual seed is from God. The word of God, the gospel. Guess what happens? It's planted. The gospel is planted into the hearts of men. And it depends on the man's heart whether they will obey or not obey. But God's word will accomplish its purpose. Again, some will allow it to enter. Some will allow it to enter and then allow Satan to steal it out of their hearts. And some will harden their hearts and not let it enter at all. People need to hear the word. They need to believe the word. They need to obey it to be brought into the kingdom of God. In 1 Peter 1:23, again it says, having been born again. We all need to be born again. Not of the corruptible seed, but the incorruptible. What is that incorruptible seed? By the word of God, through the word of God. And then that word of God is living. It's not dead, it's living, and it abides forever. Let's look again. We'll just read the parable of the part of the parable of the sower in Matthew, the 13th chapter, and verses 3 through 8. And Jesus says here in Matthew 13, 3 through 8, then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And then in verses 18 through 23, therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one, the devil, comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. Because, again, the devil knows the power of the word. This is he who receives the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed, the word of God, that has power to convert the soul, on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. That could be any one of us receiving it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, which many of them suffered back then, having to die because of the cause of Christ, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So we see here this seed, the spiritual seed, is what has the power to make us become Christians, and also it gives us the power to produce fruit. Now there is power in rain. There's power in rain to make the earth fruitful. Again, if there's no rain on the earth, we're in trouble. In James 5:7, it says, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord." See how the farmer waits. He waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently until he receives the early and latter rain. But lack of rain, when there's a lack of rain, there's a lack of crops, and the world could be in trouble. But in James, it talks about that as far as physically. In James the fifth chapter, verses 17 and 18, it says here, "Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit." Now today, what is the rain for our spirits? The Word of God. Again, we go back to what we began with reading in Isaiah the 55th chapter. Isaiah the 55th chapter, verses 10 and 11. "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall be like the rain. It shall not return to me void," just like the rain does not return void, "but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." So God's word will always accomplish. It will always accomplish what he wanted it to accomplish. Those who teach the word of God, those who preach the word of God, those who tell others the word of God year after year, those who take God's word to distant lands, need not to fear, because God is going to see. He is going to see that his word produces the desired results. If we fight for the Lord, the battle can never be lost. The word needs to be planted in the hearts of men. It needs to be watered. But God is the one who will give the increase. Now there is power in a sword to kill. In Matthew the 26th chapter, and verse number 52. And this is talking about physically. And it says here, in Matthew 26, verse 52, Jesus said to him, he's talking to Peter, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword." But spiritually, the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The word of God is our spiritual sword. As Paul is writing to the brethren at Ephesus in Ephesians the 6th chapter and verse number 17, he says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit." What is the sword of the Spirit? "Which is the word of God." The Spirit gave the word of God to what? The Holy Spirit gave the word of God to the Christian that he might use it both as an offensive and a defensive weapon. And in Hebrews 4:12, it tells us that this sword is sharper. And it's talking about the word of God. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. The word is the wisdom of God. The word is not our wisdom, but the wisdom of God. The word is not our power, but the word is the power of God. It commends itself to reason and conscience. It has the power not only of truth, but it has the power of divine truth. In opposition to all error, it opposes all false philosophy. It opposes all false principles of morals. It opposes all suggestions and temptations of the devil. It is the simple and sufficient weapon, and it is the Word of God. It is living, and it is powerful. It puts to flight all the powers of spiritual darkness. We will find this to be true in all individual experiences in our life. The Word dissipates our doubts. The Word drives away our fears. The Word delivers us from the power of Satan. The Word triumphs over sin. Terror have been accomplished. All of our triumphs over sin have been accomplished through the Word of God. As long as we use the Word and rely on it, we go forth conquering. But when we turn from the Word, when we turn from God's power and aside to traditions and reasonings and our own opinions and our own thoughts and our own ways and our own doctrines and commandments of men, then we have allowed the devil to steal the Word out of our heart. And we are at the devil's mercy. Again in Hebrews 4, we're almost done, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the living word, it lays bare all the parts of the soul. It lays bare all the parts of our spirit, even to the extent of their joints and marrows, so that all the perfections and imperfections of our spiritual nature are made known perfectly. And not only this, but the thoughts and purposes of our hearts are laid bare before the infallible judge, our God and Father, that he can fully analyze our hearts. Again, it says, and there is no creature that is hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So all the things of God's word, again, physically we need food. Spiritually, the word of God is our spiritual food. We need medicine to be healed. The word of God has healing power for our spirits. We need light to reveal the way. The Word of God is a light to our way, a lamp to our feet. The Word of God, fire to purify. And the Word of God can purify our hearts. A hammer to crush, to soften our hearts. The Word of God is that. We need seed to grow things. The Word of God is the spiritual seed. Rain to make the earth fruitful. The word of God is what produces fruit in our life. And a sword can kill, but the word of God is our spiritual sword, our spiritual weapon. So we're going to continue talking about God's word and the power of God's word, the all-sufficiency of its power, and that power of God's word, it can be accepted, that power, or it can be rejected. But all the promises of God's word depend on obedience. In Hebrews 5, 8 and 9, it tells us this about Jesus. It says here, and I'm trying to find the 8 here. Because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. We need to obey Jesus. We need to obey God. There is power in the word of God, but we need to be willing to be obedient to it. So we're going to, again, continue with the power of God's word next week. But at this time, let us realize that God's word is living and active, and it's more powerful than any two-edged sword. And allow his word to live in you, so much so that you cannot help but have it come out in your speech, in your actions, in the way you love others, and in the way you live, so that others might see the word and Christ and God and the Holy Spirit living within you.